Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Ephesians chapter 1, please, go there. I'm just joking. The shocked look on a face here, just joking. Now, make sure that you have this. Look around in your lap, please. You'll see a note page. Anybody that doesn't have one, raise your hand. The ushers will bring you one. Make sure you have that there as we look at this message here. Everybody have one? That wants one? Okay, we'll be looking at that in just a moment. Is God good? He is. We are in the midst of an amazing book, but also a chapter like no other chapter. In these 23 verses, no less than 54 times is the name of God, the reality of God, presented to us over and over and over. Just in verses 15 through 23, we're going to see 20 times when we go through here, we're going to see God as the center of all things and what He has done for us, you and I. Are we not blessed? We are tremendously blessed. We truly, truly are. And God is so good to us. So let's begin by reading verses 15 through 23 together. It says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith," Paul speaking to those in Ephesus, "in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints," notice what he does, "do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Do we pray for each other today? I pray that we do. We should pray for ourselves. We pray for our families. We pray for our loved ones. Pray for our community. But it's good to pray for those of us that gather here at Horizon Christian Fellowship. And notice in verse 17, his prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, notice how personal it is, what will he give to us? The spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. For what purpose? Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Does that sound like fun? It's an amazing thing when you, and we'll dive into that. Goes on, that you may know what is the hope of his calling? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? We're going to come back to that verse. It's an amazing verse, what God has given to you and I. But he goes on in verse 20. He says, which he, the Father, worked in Christ when he, the Father, raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him, Jesus, at his, the Father's, right hand in the heavenly places. I mean, look in that verse alone. Six times God is mentioned. Then in verse 21, he says, far above, and there's that word, all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. Every means every, right? Every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he, the Father, put all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus, him, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is Jesus' body, the fullness of him, Jesus, who fills all in all. Now, Lord, we just simply pray and submit this passage into your hands, that you would minister to us in a very special way these truths and who we are because in you because of these truths. And so we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, go to that sheet that I asked you to make sure that you had, and let's just review for a moment very quickly what we have seen in verses 1 through 14. We have found 11 blessings that were there. Look at them there, please, A through K. He chose us in him. We have been predestined. He has predestined us to adoption. He has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption. In him we have forgiveness of sins. In him we have the riches of his grace. He has made known to us the mystery of his will, that he might gather together in one all things, unity. In him we have obtained an inheritance, and we have heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, as we continue on, look at the next one we see there. Five more blessings, and I'll just list them here, and it says we may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We're going to look at that in a moment. We may have the eyes of our understanding enlightened. If that's God's purpose for us, then it's available for us. It's there for us to enjoy. That we may know the hope of his calling, that we may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. That's how he ends this chapter. And there, as he ends this chapter, also there are three important principles that he develops so well. Paul gives an example of what our prayer life should be like. So there's almost like no other prayer in all of Scripture as one we see here. This is an example of what our prayer life should be. Then we see Paul shares with us that it is vitally important that we as Christians understand the power of God that is available to us. Do we today truly understand the power that is available to us? It's an amazing reality. I can honestly say I don't, as much as I would like to. I'm growing in it, and I want to grow more. Wouldn't you? Don't you? Just me and John. John, I really like you. Come right to the front seat here, John. Come on up. No, and all that. I want to know that power. It's not mine, it's his. But it's there for us, is what he's going to teach us here. And the third thing Paul shares with us, that it is vitally important that we understand the greatness that is found in the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Thus, the message is entitled, The Exalted Christ. Because of him being exalted, then everything is given to us. And then because of that reality, we can go into chapter 2, beginning next week, at the Lord would will. We'd be in there, and it's just amazing to see again who we are in Christ Jesus and what he has done for us. There, and you also see the next thing is characteristics that Paul saw in and prayed for concerning the church of Jesus Christ. Just look at this. We're going to touch base on these things briefly, but they're here for your study. Faith in the Lord, love for all the saints, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you might know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, who simply believe. And then we'll close out there the workings of God's mighty power when he worked in and through Jesus Christ. When God raised Jesus from the dead. When God seated Jesus at the right hand in the heavenly places. When God placed Jesus far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion. When God gave him a name above every other name. When God put all things under the feet of Jesus. When God gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church. And when God made it to be that the church is Jesus' body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Is that not amazing? I mean, it really is. Each one of these is a Bible study. We could spend week after week on just any of these right here. But we're just going to touch base on them today that it might hopefully whet your appetite to go back and to study them. Look in verse 15 again. Therefore, whenever you see a therefore, it is what? Therefore, because of everything that came before it. And so verses 1 through 14, everything that was put into that, Paul just wraps everything in there and he goes, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What a beautiful two verses that we have. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Question for us today. Do we have faith in God today? I pray the answer is yes. It is with John again. I can hear John back there. You know? Yes, we have faith. Do we want our faith to grow? Yeah. How does it grow? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're diving into this. This should increase our faith today. That's what Paul's desire for those in Ephesus, that your faith would grow. And so it's the same. The Holy Spirit has a desire for us today that our faith might grow. As we know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's powerful. It's important that we have faith in our lives. Notice where our faith must be, according to the scripture, in the Lord. Always in the Lord. Now, I have faith in people, but I have found that, speaking for myself, I'll let people down. People could have faith in me. It's better, far better to have faith in God and just trust Him. Not that we're not to have faith and hope in people, but we will be disappointed. Not with God, though. Jesus must be on the throne of our lives, and we can only go forward as we have faith in Him. Faith in Him. It's very important. 1 John 5:4 says this, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith in Him. Powerful that we see. And Paul encouraged them that not only were they strong in faith, but they were people of love. Today, do we have love for all people? Now, the word all means all. Do you ever get frustrated with people? Sometimes I watch Fox News and I get wired up. I'm raring to go, man. Those people, I can't believe they just do those type of things. And then as I calm down, then it's like the Holy Spirit says, but do you love them, Bill? Do you want to pray for them? And sometimes I have to say, no. I'll pray for them, but not necessarily in a good way. God, get them. You know, no, that doesn't work. Doesn't work. Love is the answer. It's not stupidity love. It's love with understanding. Love is always the answer. It is the loudest witness of Jesus Christ. Amen? The loudest witness of Jesus Christ is love. I think of this, I went in 1980. I know it's a long time, but I went to Seoul, Korea, a long time ago, to this church. Who whistled? Ron, who invited you? You're here because of an announcement, right? Because you're going to give an announcement at the end here. You know, so I went there in 1980 there, this church was over 100,000 people, and they had a strong home fellowship network, and we wanted to learn from that. But they also had a prayer mountain. And so the pastor of the church there spoke to all of us that were there. And he says, right now, I'm going to introduce to you a person that I think is the best evangelist in all the world. And I thought, can't wait. Bring him on. Bring him on. And that there on stage brought this appeared to be like 60-year-old woman. Kind of small, kind of frail. And it just floored me. Here's he's got a church over 100,000 people. How many people do you know have a church of 100,000 people? Okay. And he's saying, I'm going to introduce to you, and this was for pastors and leadership gathering and all that, a person that I believe is the best evangelist that I have ever found. And he said to her, would you please share what you are called to do by God? And this is what she was called to do. As you know, in Seoul, Korea, there's all kinds of high-rises. So her whole mission, day in and day out, was to ride elevators. And she would ride elevators with the purpose to see who needed help. And she would help them carry packages into the apartment. She was there, and she was known by the people of the community. She was there up and down, up and down, up and down. But they knew of Jesus because of her love. She didn't have to say anything. And he mentioned that she didn't say a lot. She just showed love. Do you think that impacted a lot of people? I think so. You know? And so that is what he's praying. Love is always the answer. It's the loudest witness of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. He says, do not cease to give thanks for you. Paul says, making mention of you in my prayer. Paul prayed constantly that believers would be recipients of the lasting benefits of salvation and that they would mature in their spiritual lives. That's what he prayed for, because we can tell. Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, and here's the next blessing that we see, number 12 in the chapter, but the first one here in this section, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Anybody say, I want that? Bring it on, Lord. But what is it? It's very important that we would understand what the Spirit of is. Some see it as a reference to the Holy Spirit. I don't. I see it to the Spirit that God has put inside of us as mankind. A Spirit that he's speaking of that should have a desire to reach out and grasp after wisdom. It's the Spirit that hungers and thirsts after wisdom. It's the Spirit that seeks and seeks after wisdom. The young people that we have with us this morning, I watch year in and year out, and I pray for them. We watch them grow up and grow up and grow up and grow up and grow up, and then they graduate. And then they go out into the world, into universities, Christian universities. And all of a sudden, it seems that they lose their faith. Why? Well, a lot is because of what they're bombarded by. But a lot is that they no longer seek after wisdom in these things that are mentioned here in Scripture. Revelation, the knowledge of God. Wisdom, no doubt, refers to the continued condition of the proper application of knowledge. It is also the power of judging rightly and following the soundest course of action based upon knowledge and experience and understanding. We want wisdom, amen? It's what we should have. Paul goes on and says, I'm going to pray for you not only that you would have wisdom, but that you'll have revelation. This relates to the single glances afforded believers into the will of God in special circumstances. Don't you love it when God reveals and you know that you know, your knower knows that you know, that this is what... There we are. How is that? Guys, wave at me when I forget to do that. In that way. Well, let's go back to the beginning and start all over. Where was I? Wisdom. Wisdom. How important. Revelation. Divine glances into God's purpose for you and I. It's wonderful when God does that. Revelation. That we would all have revelations of God. We could see him. I'm not saying we see him with our eyes. You know, that would be great, but I've never seen anything. You know, maybe you have. I'm jealous. But just in our hearts, the eyes of our heart sees a revelation. He goes on there in that verse, and it says, notice it's in the knowledge of him. Notice that Paul's prayer was that believers should have a fuller knowledge of God. God wanted them to know him better. And so Paul prayed for that. You know, there's a world of difference between knowing about God and knowing God. True? Many of us are satisfied with just knowing about God. I'm saved. I got my fire insurance. I'm happy. I'm on my way. That's where I'm going to stay. No. No. We want to know him. Anybody say amen? But we can go, God, we want you to come all the way. I surrender everything. I want everything to you. And we can go like that. We can go with one hand like this and go with another hand, and then it's limited. Never should be that way. It should be, God, bring it on, whatever you would want. And that's what Paul is saying, that we would be blown away in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Again, sometimes we're too happy with just knowing about God, and he wants to reveal himself to us. Today, do you know a lot about God? But you don't know him as much as you should. If so, it's time to get your nose in the book and your knees on the ground more. It truly is. Very important. He goes on in verse 18, and he goes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's the second blessing we see. The third one is that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And then we see the fourth one in this section here, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What a beautiful, beautiful verse we find there. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What is that? This is a beautiful description of the heart, the eyes of our heart, our spiritual heart. The heart must be open so that the light of God can be seen and grasped. An open heart is the responsibility of both the believer and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is faithful to his part. He's always working, trying to bring us closer and closer. But is our heart open? The believer must open his heart and focus its affection and its intellect and will upon God. We must open our hearts and say, God, this is what I want. I want everything that you have for me. It's a challenging thing when we do that. The believer must seek the Holy Spirit to enlighten and flood his heart with the things of God.
Come, Holy Spirit. I give you freedom to do whatever you want in my life. Has anybody prayed that recently? David did. God, you have searched me. You have known my heart. And then God takes time to reveal to him that he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's all present. And David comes to the end of Psalm 139 and he says, God, you have searched me, but search me again. He wasn't satisfied with the revelation. He wasn't satisfied with the knowledge. He wasn't satisfied with the wisdom, though I no doubt he was thankful. He wanted more of God. Do we want more of God today? Then we need to cry out, God, have it all. The eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the next blessing that we see. Paul had just explained in verse 14 that Christians receive at salvation only a down payment of all that God has promised us. A proper attitude of hope longs for and expects God to bring together and give us all of his promises that he has for his people. This tremendous hope serves a strong incentive to spur believers on to spiritual maturity, that you may know what is that hope of his calling. The hope that's being spoken of here isn't, I hope this will happen, but it is my hope. It is my reality. That's what it is. Lord, this is my reality. How many believe Jesus is coming back? That's your reality, isn't it? How many believe that he's going to take us to be with him in heaven forever and ever? That's not just, I hope that happens, right? That is our hope. That's our reality. And we live on that, and it programs us, and it guides us, and excites us, and we can't believe all that he has done for us. That's the hope that he's speaking of there. And then we see in that verse also the next blessing. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? It's beautiful there. Some see this verse to be understood in one of two ways. First, that this speaks of the inheritance that awaits the saints. I like that. You know, notice it again. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Others see it that it is the Lord has an inheritance. We are his inheritance. Either way, it's kind of nice, isn't it? Really is exciting in that way. Just a little bit more. We see in the next verse, look at verse 19, and I love this verse. Circle this one, put a star next to it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Right in the center of that is you and I. If we believe, he reveals to us four different aspects of his power. Four different aspects in this verse. First one you see is the word power. Dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite from. Dynamite. That's for you and I. It's an inherent ability. It's a capability. It's a potential that he does and then he powers in our lives. Then the word working there is the word where we get energy from. The Greek word that we get energy from. It's the operative power that we have. Not only has he given us a power to walk in the midst of it, but there's an operating power that he gives that we can walk with him. The third thing we see is the word mighty, kratos, which refers to the manifested strength, the revelation of God's strength in our lives. It's there for you and I. And then simply in verse 19 at the end there, the word power, iskos, it is the power of, as an endowment, the possession of power. It isn't that we're possessive. It isn't that we're prideful. It's the fact that it's there, the power for you and I to overcome this world, to overcome the devil, to be victorious over our flesh. The power is there that we might mature. That's what Paul's praying for. He understands the heart of God. We all need this power. Do we not? Amen? We do. And so that's what he's praying for this church. I pray that this would be, and oh, that we would pray that way. And then and we see also the greatness of his power towards us. And then we see verses 20 through 23. It's just like this thing that's unloaded to us. And he just rapid fire, he gives us all of these things, the results of God's mighty power when he worked in and through Jesus Christ. He shows us what this power does, what this power is capable of, what we have before us. Notice beginning in verse 20, God, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. God raised Jesus from the dead. Anybody happy about that? We're going to celebrate that here pretty soon. He raised him from the dead. The tomb couldn't hold. And because he came out of that tomb, then we will live forever and ever and ever. Amen? That's the power that we have, that he has given us. God raised Jesus from the dead. There in verse 20, you see that God seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places. God gave him the place of supreme honor, a seat of authority. He's sitting there and he can go, hey, Dad. Remember, Scott has this need. Hey, Dad, bless him this way. I want him on my side, don't you? Really, that's what Paul's saying that way. Seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places. It says in Psalm 110, 11, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And so he's there. A day's coming that he's going to take care of all the enemies. God placed there in verse 21, we see that God placed Jesus far above all principalities, all powers, all might, and all dominions. Jesus is far above any rule, is far above any rule in this world, any government, any angelic beings, any so-called authority or power. In fact, he has absolute authority because he is infinitely superior. Sometimes I look at people and they're so prideful. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but people are so prideful. They feel they got this power. They walk with this badge or something. That's like when I go to Washington, D.C. I always go to the south side of the White House and I just stand there at the gate with my hand on the fence like this and look over there and I think, all the power people think that is there. There's power, but it's nothing compared to Jesus. Amen? He is the authority. He is the power of all power. He is God himself, and he's a loving God. It says there in verse 29 that he's or 21, that he's the name above every other name that is named. He's far above any other title that can be given to man. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. That means what? No other name. He's the only. All authority, all power has been given to him. And guess what? By show of hands, how many of us know Jesus? Isn't that amazing? Come on now. Isn't that amazing? See, all of this is for you and I, that we might mature in Christ, that we might be his instruments to ride up and down elevators, to go to wherever we can go, to pray maybe like we've never prayed before. Verse 22, notice that. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. God put all things under the feet of Jesus. Again, he is superior to whatever authorities that exist now and in the future. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. It says in Scripture, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow before Jesus Christ, whether we want to or we don't. Every single person that's ever been born, Adam, Eve, straight through to the last person on this earth, that's what Scripture reveals. Every person will bow their knee and come before the Lord and confess that Jesus is Lord. But we want to do it on this side of life, because on the other side of life, it's too late. In verse 22, God gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church. He has been set as the supreme head or supreme authority for the church. He is our everything. Through him, we can do all things. Again, all means all. And so in the beautiful area of Scripture, it's just amazing to see what is here. And then finally, in verse 23, God made it to be that the church is Jesus' body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For the church is Jesus' body. He is the head, and we are the various parts of that body. He is the one who fills the universe. He fills everything, everywhere. Amen? The universe, the world, the earth are just in rebellion to him, unfortunately, right now. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all just yield 100% to him and just allow his love to flood every single one of us, all that are in the world? It's coming very soon. You guys excited? It's coming very soon. We're going to be with him forever and ever. In conclusion, this statement. Paul's prayer and his emphasis on the necessity of understanding the power of God available to believers comes to a conclusion here with a reminder that the church is the beneficiary of that power. We benefit from that power. It's all true. We can go, yes, that's who we serve. That's who we love. But then he goes and uses Paul to reveal that we benefit. Because notice in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward, what's the next word again? Us, who do what? Believe. I just pray that we would grow in our understanding of what is available to us. Scripture tells us, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. What an amazing God we serve today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you today. I pray as we simply have gone simply through the word that you might bless us in ways that only you can bless us in our understanding of you. And what you have done for us and what is there that you have given us to walk in. Lord, I know that I fall short and I battle at times and times I feel this way and I should be more positive, more excited about you. I just see that as a fact of life, but I thank you for all that you have given us through Christ Jesus. That he rose from the dead to the living. That he walked on this earth after he rose, revealing to mankind the victory that is found in him. He has ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But someday, the door is going to open. And with the trumpet, he's going to come from heaven to this earth once again, establishing his throne here and his kingdom here. It's going to be a great time. But in the meantime, Lord, empower us to be your witnesses and understand the truths that you present in this chapter. All these blessings, 16 of them, and it just continues to go on for two chapters more. We thank you for them, Lord. Bless us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.